We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Shem Chav Yaakov Bepitichel Shel Yo. We are in Tarmid Perek Gimel Mishnah Ches. Miricho Hayushom Kol Shar Hagadol Sheniftach. We mentioned that the person who was going to shech the Karban HaTamid could hear the opening of the Shar Hagadol, which was the Shar of the Heichal, each and every morning, and he waited till he heard that noise, then waited a little bit till he could assume that the task, the avoda of the cleaning of the menorah and the mizbeach haplimi from the ktoris, the ashes, was completed, and then he would shech the animal. So here, this Mishnah says that you could even hear the opening of the Heichal from as far as Yericho. How far is Yericho? So the Bar Tanura tells you from the Gemara, Umishalayim ad Yericho eser parsos, 10 parsa. A parsa is made up of 4 mil. Each mil is 2,000 amos. So a mil is approximately a kilometer. So that would mean that Yericho is approximately 40 kilometers from Yerushalayim. In fact, driving there, it is about 40 kilometers from Yerushalayim. Walking there directly, maybe over the mountains, could be as little as about 25 kilometers. Nonetheless, we know where Yericho is. We know where Yerushalayim is. So it says from 25 or 40 kilometers or whatever it is, 10 parsos away, you could hear the noise of the opening of the Sha'ar HaGadol of the Heichal each and every morning as far as Yericho. And then the Mishnah lists many other things that you could hear or smell, in fact, as far from Yerushalayim, as far back as far as Yericho, the things that were happening in Yerushalayim. So number two is Miricho Yushomim Kol HaMagrefa. The Magrefa is a particular instrument. The Bar Tanur tells you is a minkli nigun shayim hamikdash. The Levim would play instruments in the mikdash during the avodah. This was one type of instrument known as the Magrefa. The Asar and the Kavim Ayubo says there were 10 holes in it, like some type of pipe or flute or whatever it is. V'chol echad v'echon motzi me. Each one of these holes could give you 100 different sounds. Some claim maybe it was an instrument with 10 pipes, and each pipe had 10 holes, and so in total it would produce 100 sounds. That made another way to understand. But either way, you could hear the kol of the magrefa, a very loud instrument, as far as Yericho, when it was being played in the mikdash. Miricho had yushomim kol ha'etshasa ben katin muchni lakior. From Yericho, you could also hear the sound of the machine that Ben Katin made, the machine made out of wood, which was the wheel, which was the pulley system of the kior. We mentioned this in the past to avoid the problem of lena on the water that was in the kior. So the Ben Katin, besides adding to the 2 spouts, now making 12 spouts for the Kohanim to wash their hands and their feet, but he also set up a pulley system so you could lower the kior down into the waters, subterranean waters, in the beneath the mikdash, so that there would be hashaka, the waters could touch, and therefore the water would not become possible lena. So that pulley system, it made noise, and you could hear that as far as Yericho when you were lowering the kior with that pulley system. Miricho Yushomin Kol Gvini Cruz. From Yericho, you could hear the noise, the sound of Gvini Cruz. Who's Gvini Cruz? The Gvini was the name of the announcer, says the Bar Tanura, Kohen, Sheshmo Gvini, he was a Kohen, and that was his name. He was the one who would yell out to wake the Kohanim up, it's time to get up for your avoda. So he would be so loud, you could hear that. That was in the old city of Yerushalayim, you could hear that as far as Yericho. Then the Mishnah says, Miricho Yushomen Kol Hechalil. You could hear the sound of the flute. Another one of the instruments that were played by the Levim. Miricho Yushomen Kol Hatzeltzol. The cymbals you could hear as far as Yericho. Miricho Yushomen Kol Hashir. You could hear the singing of the Levim as far as Yericho. Miricho Yushomen Kol HaShofar. The shofar that was blown on fast days or on Rosh Hashanah, you could hear as far as Yericho. V'yeshomim Av Kolo Shel Kohen Gadol B'Shar Shuhu Maskiras Hashem Yom HaKippurim. And the Kohen Gadol would say the Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMeforash, which we mentioned during the Avoda, when he would call out the Shem HaMeforash. Some claim that you could even hear those words, the Shem HaMeforash of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur as far as Yericho. Miricho Yomerichim Reach Pitomak Torres. This is something you could smell. You could actually smell the aroma, the fragrance of the Pita Maktaris of the Torah when it was burning on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Diglai, What does Rabbi Elazar ben Diglai tell us? My father had these goats in Har Michvar, which was some area, some distance from Yerushalayim, very tall mountain. And the goats would sneeze from the reach of the Ptimach Torah, which is far from Yerushalayim. And yet, because the Torah had this smell, this fragrance, they would sneeze because of the smell. Perek Gimel Mishnah Test. Misha Zacha Bidishin Mizbeach HaPnibi, the person who was Zocha, who had the privilege, who won during the lottery, to clear the Mizbeach HaPnibi, the Mizbeach HaZoh, from the Ktores, to take those ashes, Nichnas V'Natal HaTeni V'Hini Cholifonov. So we're back to the top, to the service of the Karban HaTamid. So the Inner Mizbeach was cleared of the ashes, and this person would take, we mentioned the teni. The teni was the basket for the ashes for the Mizbeach HaPnimi. He would take those ashes and put it down on the floor, or it would actually take the basket and put it down on the floor near the Mizbeach HaZahav. Chofein v'nosein l'socho. So how would he get the ashes? He would take his hands, chofein meloch hafnav, he would take them and scoop them up in his hands and put them in that basket, in that teni. That's how he would clear it out. Uva achrona ki beit asashal l'socho. At the end, when there were very few ashes left and he couldn't scoop them up, he just kind of swooped them in to the basket, so he'd get all the ashes off the Mizbeach HaPnimi v'nicho v'yatzah. Then he actually left the basket, didn't bring it out, next to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and he went out into the Heichal. We'll see that basket remains in the Heichal until after you finish with the menorah. We'll see the menorah had different types of preparation, clearing and preparing for lighting that night. So the basket, which was the teni, and that jug as well, which was used for the menorah, so then they were going to be taken out at the same time. But right now, the teni remains, which had the ashes of the ktores, leftover ktores, the ashes, that was left there in the heichal. So v'achron, we said, ki b'nes asher l'socho, he slept the ref, v'nicho v'yotza. Fine. Misha zacha b'dish ha-menorah, nichnas u'matza shteineros mizrachios dokim. So now we get to the person who is going to clear out the menorah. This is somewhat complicated, and different opinions how to understand this Mishnah, but let's begin by explaining that the person who was Zoche in the clearing out of the ashes, the menorah, would walk in, and if he would find Shtein Neros Mizrachios Dolkim, if you'd find the two lamps, the two Neros, candles, of the seven-branched menorah, the eastern candles, Dolkim, lit, Midashein es hasha'ar, he would clear out the other five, and we'll talk about which two or which five we're talking about. Umaniach es elu dokim umkomet, and he would leave the easternmost two candles lit. So one thing we have to remember is that the menorah, at least according to the Tan of this Mishnah, the menorah is actually parallel to the length of the Beis HaMikdash. So imagine you're walking into the Heichal. So according to this Mishnah, you're not looking at the menorah like you'd look at your Chanukah, Chanukiah, the eight-branch Chanukiah, which is usually perpendicular to the length of your room. You look, if you look at the menorah, you see all of the eight candles are all across, you see right in front of you. That's not the way the menorah was according to the Tanna of the Mishnah in the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah was not perpendicular. So if you look at the menorah, the menorah was pretty much parallel to the room, and therefore if you look straight at the menorah, you'd only see one candle. Behind that was another candle. Behind that was another candle. So since towards the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash is the west, that's the holiest. That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in the west. That's why Marav is considered the holiest place. You're coming from Mizrach to Marav. You're going from east to west. So therefore, we're going to call the first two candles that you come in contact with the two Neros Mizrachios. Those are the two eastern, most eastern candles. So the Mishnah is telling us, if you walked in, and when he was about to clear out the candles to prepare them for the night, remember this is happening in the morning, so it could be that they're still lit. So if those two candles are still lit, he would then, assuming the others were not, or even if that they are, you blow them out, you would clear out the other five that are behind you. Why would you split it up? Why aren't you cleaning them all out at the same time? Because the pasuk says in Shmos, Perek Lamed, Baboker, Baboker, Behitivo es haneros. What's this double Baboker? You're going to clear out the Neros, Baboker, Baboker. So it means that we're supposed to split the Hatava, Hatava means the clearing out, making good, of the Neros into two mornings, which means there needs to be a hefsek of another avoda between some of the candles and some of the other candles. Now, how many candles are there? That had to be cleared out. There have to be seven. So why am I splitting it up 2 and 5? So that's based on the following. The pasuk uses the word neros, behetivo es haneros. You're supposed to make good, you're supposed to clear out and make them look nice, neros. So that shows you that to do, anytime you're clearing out candles, you need to be doing a minimum of two candles. So that would mean that I certainly can't split it up 6 and 1. Well, you want to say, oh, do it in two separate things. You can have clearing out of let's say 6, and then you'll do the avoda of dam, of the dam atamid, which we'll talk about, the sprinkling of the blood, and then you'll do the last one. You can't do that because that second hatava is only one candle. So therefore, you need a minimum of 2 candles. So why don't we do, let's say, 3 and 4? So the answer is because once you start with the mitzvah, you want to do as much of the mitzvah as you can. So I'm going to clear out 5 neros. I have to leave 2 because of the pasuk, but I'm going to try to do as many as I can. So that's why we do 5, and then we do 2. Question is though, okay, good, I get the 5 and the 2, but why do we start with the 5 towards the west, which and the one that the 2 that are right in front of the Kohen when he walks in, that those first 2 candles, the most eastern ones, those are the ones that he leaves. Why not clear the first 5 and then leave the last 2, the ones that are the most west? So that's based on the following pasuk in Vayikra Kof Daled. The pasuk says, Lahalos Ner tamid michutz leparoches ha'edus ya'aroch oso aharon lifnei Hashem tamid. So what do we learn from this pasuk? We're speaking about obviously the menorah. Kivan the Omra Torah, the Gemara says, Kivan ner lahadlik mimenu sha'or haneros. I need you to have an established, a permanent ner that's going to be there to light the other candles from that candle. Ezozeh. What candle is that? Zener sheni shelitzad mizrach. And that's known as the Ner Ma'aravi. That refers to what candle is going to light the other candles. It's going to be the second candle you come in contact with. That's called the Ner Ma'aravi. Not the middle candle. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. But think about it. The first candle you come in contact with is what? Is the easternmost candle. That would mean that the one that's behind it would be the first Ner Ma'aravi, would be the first one that we can call the western candle. Relative to the outer candle, that in fact is the first Ner Ma'aravi. And Ein Ma'avir and Ala Mitzvahs don't pass by a mitzvah. So if you're telling me I needed to use a Ner Ma'aravi to light the other candles, the first Ner Ma'aravi is the second candle that we come in contact with. So that's why, since it says in the Pasuk that I want a candle lahalos ner tamid. There has to be a ner tamid that I'm going to light lahalos. I'm going to light the other candles from. So I need a ner ma'aravi. Because the pasuk says that lahalos ner tamid has to be lifnei Hashem tamid. It has to be a candle that's lifnei Hashem. Towards the Kodesh Kodeshim is lifnei Hashem. It's towards the west. So the first one is obviously not towards the west. It's the east one. But the one that follows, if Ein Ma'arin Al Mitzvahs, that's the first west one. They're the first one that's considered lifnei Hashem. So therefore, that's your Ner Ma'aravi. And from there, you're going to light the other. So that's how we get this number. We're going to start with we have to leave that second candle lit. From that, I'm going to light everything else. So therefore, I clear out the 5 that are most west. And then, I have my Ner Ma'aravi, which is the second candle. So far we know why we're leaving the second candle. That's Lifnei Hashem. That's my Ner Ma'aravi, Ein Ma'arin Al Mitzvahs. So that's why we're leaving that lit. That we understand. We understand why we have to leave 2 candles have to be cleared out together. Because it says Neros in plural. So why do those, the second candle have to be the Ner Mizrachi, the most eastern one? Let's say I have the Ner Ma'aravi, that's my first Ner Ma'aravi, and then leave the next candle. And you'll do those 2 first. You'll leave those 2 rather, and then you do the last 4. and the first one, the first Easter one together. And then you'll do those number 2 and 3 right afterwards. So that we're not going to do either, because in order to have a heker, that the Ner Ma'aravi is in fact the second candle, this the other candle that I leave unclear, that I leave lit, or I don't clear out at the very beginning, is the Ner Mizrahi is the first one. So those first two, we leave, if they're lit, wonderful. If not, so we're going to save those anyway. But the point is that those are the first two we ignore, we leave them where they are, and the last five that are most towards the west are the ones that we're going to clear out and clean out first. Now, one other thing to be mindful of is the Gemara says, based on a brisa Maaseches Shabbos on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, the pasuk says Michutz leParoches HaEidus. Why do we call the Paroches HaEidus something that gives testimony? So the answer is Eidus Hu LeBaye Olam. The Gemara says Shashchinah Shabbos Yisrael. In fact, the Ner Ma'aravi is, or there's something about next to the Paroches that's testimony that the Shchinah is Shabbos Yisrael, and that is what's the Eidus. So Amar Maho Eidus this Gemara Amar Rava. Zirna Maravi, the name Maravi is Eidus. What's the Eidus? Shenosin bo shemen kimidas chaverav. You'd put the same amount of oil as all the other candles. Umimenu haya madlik uvahaya masayim. You'd start lighting from there and you conclude with that, which means that miraculously that candle lit, even though all the others went out, had same amount of oil as everything else. But there was an ace that candle stayed lit and had to be extinguished and didn't go out on its own. That was a nace that took place in the Beis HaMikdash and was unfortunately after the death of Shimon HaTzadik, of the Kohen Gadol Shimon HaTzadik, so we no longer had that nace. So when the Mishnah here speaks about the fact that we have to clean out, or if we found, let's say, they found the Ner Ma'aravi and the Ner Mizrahi lit, still lit. What do you mean still? What do you mean still lit? The Ner Ma'aravi. What do you mean if you found it lit? It's supposed to be lit. So the answer is not if we don't have the nace, it may not be lit. So that's what the Mishnah. Let's go back to the language of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Umatza Shnei Hanichnas. He walks in. Umatza Shnei Neros Mizrahi Dolkim. If he would find the two most easternmost candles lit, the one that which is the most Ner Mizrahi, and the one that behind it, which we call the Ner Ma'aravi, Midashen Es Hashari, clears out the other five. Umaniyeches Elu Dokim Komim. I mean, leave you these two should be lit because I'm going to have another avoda, which is the sprinkling of blood in between the five and these two. But then the Mishnah says, what about Mitzan Shekavu? What if you found that these two? Easternmost candles are Ner Mizrahi and the Ner Ma'aravi that followed it, you find that they were extinguished. Midashnan, so then you clear them out, but the clearing out is not real clearing out. Remember, these two are supposed to be cleared out after the other ones. If you found that these were extinguished, you clear them out enough and put in new oil, put in a new psila, a new wicks, umadlikan min hadolkin, and you should light these two easternmost candles from the Neros that are still lit. Because these have to be lit. These are not supposed to be cleaned out as the first time around. You have to do the other five first. So you have to relight these. So that's what we do. And let's say the other ones were extinguished, so you take fire from the Mizbech HaOla, from the Mizbech HaNechoshes, where the Karbonos are, and you have to light those two Neros. Those have to be lit. Those are not cleaned out first. And then, V'achakach Midashen Es HaShaar, then you clear out the other five, and you are going to put up, besides cleaning them out, you have to put a new oil and new wicks to be lit. And this is happening in the morning, but they're going to be lit that night. You prepare them. The Hatavas Aneros is done in the morning to light them, and then at that night. And then the Mishnah is you do the Dama Tamid, you do the Zrika, and then you clear out, then you prepare the other two Neros, the easternmost Neros, the Ner Mizrahi, and what we call the Ner Ma'aravi. The Evan Haysel Lefnei HaMenorah Uvar Shalosh Malos, there was a stone, a large stone in front of the menorah, there were three steps on there, because Pasuk says, Bahalos Sechas HaNeros, or Veheelos Neros Lahalos Ner Tamid, and what was the purpose of that? Sha'aleha HaKohen Omeidu Meitev HaSaneros. The Kohen is said to he's supposed to be raised. So it says he's supposed to go up to the menorah, so he would stand on these, and that's how he would clear out the menorah. The menorah was 18 tefachim high, so the Kohen had to stand up on this on these steps in order to clear out, clean the neiros. V'iniach es ha-kuz, remember the kuz. The kuz was that jug where he was going to put the ash. We had the teni was the ash, are the ashes of the ktores, and the ashes in the menorah are in the kuz. And so he put all of the ashes of these candles in the kuz, al mala shnia, on the second stone in front of the menorah, on the second step, v'yatza, then he leaves the heichal. So now we have the two, we have the teni and the basket, and the kuz and the jug are sitting there. And afterwards he came back, where there was another avodah, who said the Zrikas Adam, and then he came back to clear out the other two neiros, and then he took out the kuz, and the Kohen who was involved in the Mizbeach HaPnimi ashes, he took out the teni, and then they placed they poured the deshen in a special place next to the Mizbeach. This is all one way to understand the Mishnah. Just briefly to realize that the Rambam, and it's discussed in Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perek Gimel Halacha Ches and Halacha Yud Beis, holds that the Ner Ma'aravi is not the one we described. The way the menorah is situated, assuming it's situated the way we described it, the Ner Ma'aravi is the most western candle, not the second candle, not the first one that we can call the western candle. It's the most western. It's the last candle, right to the closest to, and that's what we would call, that's Lifnei Hashem. It's that's the closest to Lifnei Hashem, to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's what he understands. Not only that, the Rambam believes that the Hatavas HaNeros, the clear clearing out of the neiros, is not just clearing out. He believes hatavas haneiros means halakas haneiros, and therefore he understands the mission in a very different way. In fact, the Rambam even rules not like the Tana of the Mishnah, and he claims that the menorah was situated in the mikdash not the way we've described it, but rather it stood perpendicular to the length of the heichal. It went across the width, and therefore you would look at it like you were looking like your Hanukkah menorah. You'd see all of the candles together. It stood from north to south, and therefore you know what the Ner Ma'aravi would be according to this would be the middle candle. As many people claim, oh, that must be the Ner Ma'aravi, the middle candle. Why would we call the Ner Ma'aravi? In what way is it more west than anything else? The answer is the psila. The wick would lean out towards behind, towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim, whereas the wicks of the other three on either side, the other six, would be facing the wick of the inner candle.